do that when I get this stuff done. It's gonna take me a little bit while, but I got to thinking about that this week, and I have some other stuff out there I sold and got my table clear. So I'll try to put this stuff together and get some. It may be more than one picture, but try to get it all in a group, and I'll send that to you. And see what you think about it. And it could be that, you know, we could put it online or something, or somebody want to look at it. And maybe, like you say, maybe they want to come over here and look and see what I got and just make me a price on it. So, but, you know, I'm open to anything, you know, because I do need to move this stuff, Darryl.
I understand completely, Dan. In the last year, well, the last, we'll call it 2 years, I have helped 5, 6 Silent Keys widows with merchandise, and I tell you what, it gets to be kind of ridiculous sometimes. But you know AK Gray, W4AKG. Teresa has still got stuff down there at her place, and we're still trying to get some of that stuff gone. But for the most part, most of the stuff has already been spoken for. But he's got a lot of pieces, parts, and you know, a lot of stuff to like that, because he used to repair them and go through them and rebuild them for folks and all kinds of stuff. And Dan, unfortunately, we get down to the point now, we don't have that many new hams that are coming along that like to build stuff.
Yes, and KI4DOS, this is WB4FE, and I understand, Gary, and that's a shame, really. But you can't, you know, everything now is throwaway. You don't repair anything hardly anymore, so And that's not all that good either, because that's not good for the landfills, Errol.
But, you know, they want us to clean the air up, but they want us to throw all that stuff away. And then they got to do something with it. Well, you know, in electronics, there's a whole lot of stuff. Should it catch on fire, it's very toxic. And so, I don't know if putting it in a landfill is a good thing or not. You know, if they could recycle it all, it might be. But, shoot, the landfills get so much in a day's time, they can't recycle everything they get in either.
That's exactly right. You got that right. And but I know they grind a lot of it up and reuse it for different things and all, but still there's a certain amount of it got to go in the ground. So, but anyway, Gary, I just wanted to run that by you and see what you thought. And as soon as I can get that done, and it may be a month, but as soon as I can get that done, I'll be online with you, and we'll set up something, and I'll get some pictures to you there.
Good, Dan. You got my email address?
I'm not sure, Gary. Hold on just 1 minute, and hold on just a minute. Let me get a pen and a pencil here.
Get you a crayon that's won't run out of ink or something, and a piece of paper, and then we'll give it to you.
Hey, go ahead.
Hard to remember, it's my call, KI4DOS at bellsouth.net.
I used to have a call similar to that there. KI4DOS at bellsouth.net.
You got it.
Okay, good. And hope you all have a good week. Take care. Tell me, Joy, we said hello there, and it's real good talking to you, man. So I'll tell everybody on the net good night. I got to drive tomorrow, so I'm going to be crashing here in a little bit. But y'all take care. This is WB4FVE Clear with you.
Okay, Dan, you take care. Tell Miss Joan we said hello. And you be careful out there on the roads tomorrow. I know you don't drive as far as you used to, but I was looking at the news, and they said that there was a wreck out there on 85 about Pelham Road, it had all the southbound lanes blocked, and I don't know how long it was blocked, but they said it would be a while. So you be careful out there. Good talking to you, and look forward to doing it again there, young man. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
DOS. Kilo Juliet 4, Whiskey Zulu Mike, KJ4WZM. My name is Daniel. My location is Traveler's Rest. If you don't have anyone left for comments, you can put me down for comments, but if you do, then don't worry about it.
4 DOS, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Papa, X-ray Bravo, Lloyd in Simpsonville. I'll be in and out.
Seeing Kilo Oscar 4, Victor November Mike, Colton, seeing Campobello, then I'll be negative and negative.
I-4 DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Like to say good evening to KJ4WZM, Mr. Daniel, up there at Traveler's Rest. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Daniel. And KO4PXB, Mr. Lloyd, he's down there in Simpsonville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Lloyd. And KO4VNM, Mr. Clinton over there in Campobello. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Clinton. Hope you're doing well. Next up on the rag queue list is Mr. Chad, KO4NUE, over there at Campobello. Mr. Chad, what have you and Miss Anna been up to today there, young man?
It's KO4NUE. Not a whole lot. Just want to drop by for a few minutes and tell you I've got 6 quarts of tomatoes put up today. And I've got something in happening to them after I get them canned, and I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I know what's causing it, but I'm not exactly sure what to do about it. But it's like the pulp is separating from, well, the pulp takes up half of the quart jar, and then there's just a whole lot of liquid. And I was careful how I scooped all that stuff out into the jar. Anna does this mostly. She's been out of town, so I decided I'd jump on it today. And half of the jars are half liquid and pulp, so I don't exactly know what to do about that. I don't guess there's anything I can, really.
Joy does all the canning here, so I would have to tell her to turn the radio on in there in the living room if she doesn't have it on already. When she packs her jars, she does not pack them real tight. She could put more tomatoes in there, but she leaves a little space, and she leaves a little space up at the top. So when they're cooking and all of that, the steam comes out and whatnot. But hers turn out that way. You know, some of the jars will look like they're just flat full of tomatoes, and the other jars will look like there's tomatoes floating on top of water or whatnot. And she said that has a lot to do with the water content of the tomatoes. Now, whether it does or not, I don't have any idea. You know, like I said, she does all the canning over here, so they're probably fine.
Fair enough. I just never seen, hers when she does it, they never turn out like that. So I was quite proud of myself, actually. But when jars cooled off, it was just like everything separated on 3 of them. And I just thought maybe I did something wrong or something. But, if that happens to Joy's, I guess that's normal. But other than that, not a whole lot happening around here. I am losing, starting to lose the tomato plants. It's no matter what I do to them, I can't seem to straighten them out. So one of them, I just went ahead and picked all the green off of it because it's just pretty much dead. And I'm gonna pickle those green tomatoes. I like pickled green tomatoes. And got plenty of hot peppers. And I make this little chili relish kind of stuff. And I'll use green tomatoes in that. So first plant is down for the season. So we'll see what happens to the others.
One thing about fruit plants like that, they bear for so long and then they just kind of give up the ghost. You know, they don't continue to bear, you know, from now on. But I'll tell you one thing, I probably already told you this. If I have, I apologize for repeating myself. But my dad came over to my house years ago and they were predicting frost, hard frost in a couple of days. And Dad said, "What are you going to do with your tomatoes?" And I said, "Well, I guess the frost will get them." And he went out there and he picked every green tomato on the plant, or all the plants. And he carried them to his house. And he had a utility room outside at the front of his carport where the washer and dryer stayed. And it was attached to the house, of course. And he kept a light on in there to keep it halfway warm for the, you know, for mother and all this. But he had some cabinets in there. And he put those tomatoes up in those cabinets on some brown paper. And, you know, I don't know how often. I don't know. He didn't do it every day. But like once a week, he'd go out and turn those tomatoes over. You know, he'd have them on their tops and he'd flip them over to the bottom. And then the next rotation, he'd go out and flip them over again. We went over to their house for Christmas dinner, and Daddy walked out there and came back in with three of the prettiest red tomatoes you've ever seen. He sliced them, and we had them there for Christmas dinner. I asked him, I said, "Dad, where'd you get such pretty tomatoes?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Off your tomato vines."
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, Daddy's got some secrets up his sleeve. I know mine's definitely like that. He's always, you know, got some little trick. You know, won't tell you about it. He just do it. Half the time, I think he's doing it just if I watch. You know, but that's all right though. I mean, he's earned it to be able to do that. But we got back on the garden for a minute. I got two cucumber plants that the deer have eaten them back, and so I put cages around them so the deer can't get to them. And then I looked out there this morning, and there's a groundhog out there, and he's, you know. Now he's tearing them up, so cucumbers are out. I just can't do anything with them. But I've got 13 pepper plants, so I gotta do something with all those peppers. But I'll have to keep that in mind with the tomatoes. Maybe I guess it's probably cool weather and the lack of sunlight that. I guess ripens them, or, well, I guess they probably got to ripen before they can rot, right?
The lack of the sunshine is the main thing, and the cooler temperatures. You could take them down there in the shop and put them in one of those cabinets over there that you keep the doors closed on, and just, you know, every 2 or 3 days or whatever, go out there and open the doors and turn them a little bit. And just let them ripen real slow. And but no, they don't seem to rot unless the bugs or something gets in them until they get ripe.
Keep that in mind. The big ones I hate to cut up for, you know, pickled tomatoes, because they, you know, I like the smaller ones. I've got a recipe I use with one part water and four parts apple cider vinegar. Put some garlic and cut up small green tomatoes and some hot peppers. And, you know, that's pretty good with a pound of cornbread, something like that. But I hate to do the big ones like that. I may try that this year, see if I can pull one on that. That'd probably be pretty good.
DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KO4NUE, Mr. Chad over here in Campobello. Yeah, that would be pretty good if you could pull that over on Dad. I know my dad pulled it on me, and I've tried it a couple of different times, and evidently mine either, you know, they have done well, but they hadn't turned out like his. And I don't know what else he might have done, but that's what he said he did. He just put them in the cabinet and shut the doors and kept the sunlight off of them. And, of course, it was a little cooler out there, and he'd go out and turn them. And they turned out wonderful. I tell you what, they were some great tomatoes. But, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes it's a draw, I guess. But if you can ever get one over on your daddy, that's the thing to do. You know, because my dad, if he's anything like yours, he was hard to get something on.
It just has to be really sneaky, and it takes months to, you know, plan it out. He can just, you know, he can do it at will, but it takes me a while to get that figured out. But the other thing I was going to do was my grandmother she had an old pear tree in the backyard, and when the pear, that thing yielded toward the end of the fall, and before the first frost would come, she'd go out there, she had a hoe, and she'd get what she could get off of it, you know, before the frost come in, and she'd wrap them things up in newspapers and keep them down in the basement. I don't know, a couple bushels of them. And we'd eat on those things all the way, you know, just about till springtime. So I'm not sure what the paper does. It must be some kind of barrier or something, or it probably keeps them from touching one another. I bet that's what it is. And, you know, so I've seen Grandma do that, but never with tomatoes. I will try it, though.
We have forgotten a whole bunch that we actually knew. And the older folks that didn't have refrigerators and stuff like that, they had root cellars and where it would stay cool and that sort of thing. But, you know, we don't remember how they did things way back then. I know if you want to keep onions for a good long while, you put them in some netting, or my dad and my granddad and other folks used to use lady stockings. You know, they'd drop an onion down in the toe and then they'd tie a knot in it, and then they'd drop another one down and tie a knot in it, and drop another one down and hang them up, and that way they were hanging up in the cool air, you know, whether it be in the root cellar or out in the barn or whatever. And those things used to last a long, long time. But we've gotten away from all of that. You know, we're getting lazy is the best way I word it. I know I am. You know, we go to the store and get what we need, come back home, don't worry about it.
Comment. For DJC, we had a cannery about a block above my house. It was just run by the Women's Auxiliary there in town. They rented in the, you know, after people brought the gardens in the fall. They had a regular, I mean, they canned. It had, I mean, they did cans and everything. I remember us doing any tomatoes. But I tell you a little quick story about stuff that people don't do anymore, don't realize how to do it. But there in town, back in the teens, I guess, when my daddy was growing up, they had a little house down there where they kept people put their sweet potatoes in there and let them age. And I guess the big farmers do that. That's something that they told me about years ago, and I didn't believe it. They had a One of my friends opened up a restaurant there not too far down the road. They called it the Tater House Grill on Tater House Hill, M4DJC.
Yeah, they used to do that sort of thing, no doubt. And that's cool, Tater House. On Tater House Hill, that's pretty good. But appreciate you coming in there with a comment. And yeah, like I said, we got talking about gardens and stuff, and I don't know when to quit there. Over.
Yeah, ain't you think? Well, we lived in South Georgia back in the late 60s, early 70s. We used to do the onion thing in the stocking when the Vidalias would come in. They weren't in our area, but they weren't too far away. We'd do that because those Vidalias, you know, they're so sweet. They'll rot in a hurry if you don't separate them like that. You guys carry on. I'm just interested to hear it. And said, like you and your both said, my dad's been gone about 25 years or more now, but I swear to goodness, I still remember things he told me, and he was never wrong. Before DJ C clear.
Jerry, well, it's like I told some other people, you know, when we're young, we think mom and daddy know it all, and, you know, they can't do any wrong, and as we get a little older, we start getting a little headstrong, and then get in teenage years, mom and daddy don't know anything, what they talking about or nothing else, and then we get on up in age, and have our own kids, and then all of a sudden we look back over our lives and we say, you know, mom and daddy was pretty smart. I should have listened to them a little closer. Go ahead and pick it up there, Chad.
To comment, we had a cannery up the road here right in front of Holly Springs Baptist Church. I never did see it operate, but it had women's auxiliary run it, and the whole community would, what Dad was explaining, the whole community would come and, you know, the peaches and, you know, green beans and things like that. But I things have changed so much. But I tell you, Jerry and Gary, when I was pretty close to my grandfather, and we spent a lot of time together, and he taught me to cook. I'm a pretty decent cook, and he taught me, you know, tricks and tips to that. And one year he passed along the cured ham recipe. You got two recipes, sugar cured and salt cured. But Meemaw's got an old salt box in the kitchen. That was probably 6 feet long, and that was her grandmother's. Got big old popper doors, you know, you open up and you'd fill it full of salt and you'd put all your hams in there for the year, you know. I'd said probably hold 100 pounds of salt, I think, you know. But she keeps, you know, grocery bags and things like that in it. But I usually cure ham every year with Pappy's recipe. Let my radio drop. Per pound is what it takes. You know, so if it's 30-pound ham, it's going to take 90 days to cure it. And I got all the salt and the spices. And, you know, we cured two one year and hung them out there in the barn. I never will forget that. And that was best ham at Christmas, my goodness. You know, you can't buy hams like that. You know, they just don't taste the same. But I usually do one every year for Christmas. And I just think of him every time I do it, you know, because it's an ordeal, you know. Got to lay everything out, and I can remember him, you know, I'm laying the ham out in the salt and getting all the spices mixed. And I can hear him telling me, you know, step by step when I'm doing it. So, you know, it's just nice to have memories like that, I guess. But you're right, Gary, they were very smart.
Yeah, that would be really good. My grandfather that lived up in Dacusville, he used to cure hams, but he never taught me how to do it, to which I was kind of ashamed of. Well, I wasn't ashamed of it. I was sad because he didn't do it. There was a lot of, I learned from him and my grandmother and my mother and dad both. And, well, my other grandparents as well as that, my mother's mother and dad. I didn't know my great-grandparents, so I don't, I missed out on those, I'll just put it that way. But keep those memories going and teach your sons and your daughters and stuff how to cure those hams and keep that tradition going. Don't let it die out.
Book I wrote, started when I was 13. I still got it in there. And I'm on, I'll give you one recipe and then I'm going to clear on out. But Campbell's tomato soup. He made the best Campbell's tomato soup, you know, and grilled cheese sandwich. And, you know, the whole lesson come with it, of course, you know, how to, you know, slice the onion. He spent 20 minutes trying to, you know, showing me how to, you know, dice the onion the right way, which, you know, he's right. It makes sense. But, you know, you fry the onions out a little bit till they start to caramelize, and then a can of soup, and then a can of milk, salt and pepper and butter, and then the grilled cheese. He used cast iron pans for all, you know, all of that. And, boy, I'm telling you, he can make the best grilled cheese sandwich of that tomato soup. It's cold outside. Man, ain't nothing like it. But I can hear him just a-talking in there in the kitchen. But anyway, I'll let you go, bud. I appreciate talking with you. Anna's been gone for the past 2 days, so I've been hemmed up there in the house by myself. And just, you know, I hadn't had anybody but the dogs to talk to. So just glad to have a little bit of, you know, human interaction. So appreciate it, Gary. You too, Jerry. Y'all have a good night. KO4NUE, KI4DOS, 73, Gary.
Well, when the tomatoes start coming in really, really good, and Joy makes some of her tomato soup, she makes it from scratch. She took 3 recipes and combined them, or you know, took the part of this one and part of that one, came up with her own, and she fixed me some homemade tomato soup with a grilled cheese sandwich, and I tell you what, She come walking into the, I was sitting in my recliner, she came from the stove, and she said, "Taste this and tell me what it needs." And she stuck that big old spoonful of soup in my mouth, and I'm telling you what's true. That was the best soup I ever ate. And Joy doesn't normally like tomato soup, you know, like if you get it out of a can or something. But she would sit down and eat a complete bowl of her homemade tomato soup. So if she makes some this year, I'll share with you and let you try it. Just thought I'd throw that out at you, buddy. Thanks for being with us. Enjoyed it. Tell Miss Anna we said hello. Reach down and pass KC on the head for me and Pixie. And we'll talk at you a little bit later. I don't know the names of the rabbits and all that other stuff out there that you got. But Just remember about the deer and the groundhogs. We can't put them in the freezer. You know, that can be our reserve meat for the wintertime.
Right. So June and Johnny, those are the rabbits. So there you go. 73's Gary. Thank you for calling the net, sir. Be safe. KO4NUE, I'm clear.
73, Chad. Enjoyed it. It's KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. If we have additional check-ins or additional comments, call KI4DOS. We're about to wrap it up this evening. Appreciate all you fine folks out there in Radio Land that checked in with me tonight. Come back tomorrow night and give KI4DOS a good dose of writer's cramp. Matt called me earlier in the day, and he's going to be putting in some overtime at his job tomorrow night, and he told me to, or asked me if I would pick the net up for him, so I'll be calling again tomorrow night, but there won't be a swap net, so y'all come back, and we'll do it again. I'll go ahead and fill out the report and submit it electronically, and then we'll close the net out. I've shot a grand total of 75 tonight. Great net. Appreciate each and every one of you. You folks out there in Radio Land are the ones that make the net. If y'all didn't check in, we wouldn't have a net. I wouldn't want to sit here and talk to myself for, an hour and a half so far. anyway, y'all come back again tomorrow night, and we'll do it again. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, with our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.